Welcome to the Literary Escape Podcast, the only podcast that serves both readers and authors of historical Christian romance. We read, discuss, review, and rate books in this unique romance subgenre, and sprinkle in a few contemporary Christian suspense books. Authors, we bring you inside tips and tricks from those who have gone before you. Then we bring both readers and authors together for fun-filled live Q&As. Literary Escape is the one-stop shop for both readers and authors to connect, learn, and grow together. Let's dive into this adventurous episode. Welcome back, everyone, to another Friday Book Club discussion. I have just two quick announcements for you before we dive in. I have another book giveaway for April through Book Funnel. You can use the link in the blog post for this episode to claim these free reads. Please note that Wednesday, April 30th is the last day to claim these free reads. So be sure to head on over to the blog post and click on that link today. The limited edition covers for Book 2 of the Bounty Brothers series, Uncharted Trials, are now available for pre-order. We are also bringing back a second printing of the limited edition cover for Book 1, Unwavering Faith, in case you missed it. Limited edition covers will no longer be available after Uncharted Trials releases in June. So, head over to literaryescape.com/campaign to order your copies today. Your pre-orders help fund the publication of the next novel in the Bounty Brothers series, so thank you so much for your support. Our goal is to sell 100 hardback copies and 250 paperback copies, and this will help us reach our goal of $10,000 to cover publishing and audiobook creation costs. Be sure to share our book fund campaign with your friends, and remember, we are fully independent, and you can only find it at literaryescape.com. That's it for announcements. Let's jump into this week's discussion with author Crystal Cottle. Welcome back, everyone, to another book discussion. We're so excited to have Crystal Cottle here with us today to talk about her newest release. And I forgot, written in...
Secret,
yes. Thank you. Sorry. There it is. I love the book cover, by the way.
Crystal did an amazing job.
So just so readers know, I'm only like 30% through the book. I haven't finished it, but we will have an entire episode with the ladies just talking about the book coming out in April. But for now, I wanted to touch base with Crystal because there's some interesting stuff in here. And my first question for you, Crystal, is what is it like as an author to write your leading lady as an author?
It was a lot of fun and also scary because you see into my brain a little bit how I view things. I might be in a situation and be like, how could I use this in a story? Lydia does that quite often and quite well.
She's hilarious. I have to say, I love how she's like, there's that little scene where she kind of like practices flirting with the guy that she likes just to see. And then I think I'll use that in my character in my book. Like, she's just like playing out her characters.
Yes. Yep.
And I have to admit, your opening first two chapters had me laughing, and I love them. For those of you that haven't started reading it yet, she is going to hook you within the first page because it is just incredible. So how did you come up with a scene like that?
So it actually came by a single sentence in Counterfeit Love. So Counterfeit Love actually takes place after Written in Secret. And it was my debut novel. And I mentioned that Teresa and Lydia had gotten into trouble stealing a three-legged goat from the circus. And that's how Lydia met her future husband. Sorry, spoiler, but it's a romance. So, you know, they have to get together. Sorry. If you've read Counterfeit Love, you know. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, I love it. I love that you connected them back to characters in your first series as well. So one of the things, though, that Lydia, she struggles with is this guilt over what she's written. So how did you come up with kind of that's a big thing so far. I'm only 30% through, but that's a big thing through the book. So how did you come up with that dilemma for her?
So readers know who haven't read it, Lydia is a dime novelist who writes crime novels based on real crimes under a pseudonym. And some vigilante has come and decided to enact the justice on the criminals who had gotten away with their crimes and is murdering them. So she has this guilt of, well, if I hadn't written this, would this happen? Have happened? Am I responsible in some part for these guys' death? But she also firmly believes that it's not literature that corrupts man, it's sin. And so she's wrestling with, well, what part do I have and what part is just the fact that this person is a sinful person? And so when you write suspense like this and dark things and your mind goes to places that you know isn't normal for people and can, my goal is always to glorify God, but we also have to show the darkness of the world for his light to shine. Not, he doesn't need it for his light to shine, but it helps us to process the world we're in because our world is a dark world. So I wrestle with it sometimes. And so that's kind of where it came in. And plus, I thought it would be a natural thing for her to wrestle with.
I would agree, especially the way you have the other characters reacting to her and the situation. I mean, she's in a pretty tight spot right now. I mean, I'm like right, you know, at the intense part coming in, I'm sure. But
has Cincinnati started rioting yet?
Yes. Yes, we have. Well, they did at her house and at the editor's. So I don't know. If
that's the full extent of what you're going to see as far as Cincinnati rioting. But Cincinnati is very much stirred up because they blame her.
Mm-hmm. And I'm really not liking it's Clemens, right, as mm-hmm. the news reporter?
Mm-hmm.
So how did you create such a frustrating character?
So, secret, originally I wanted him as a hero for book two. But as he developed, he could no longer be the hero because he became his own person. And he just, without giving spoilers away, he just became somebody who I could not redeem into a hero. I can't redeem him.
It's okay. That's okay. It gets tricky to not reveal something important to the story. But I could see that. He's a very frustrating man right now.
He frustrated me. I wanted him to be a hero later on.
And how many books are going to be in this series?
It will be three books. I don't know if I'll self-publish some indie side stories that go with it. It just depends on my creativity and my time and all the fun stuff.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so let's talk about our hero a little bit. Can you share a little bit about him?
So Abraham is a Cincinnati police officer, so he's not quite a detective yet. But he gets pulled in onto the case with the promise of becoming a detective if he helps solve the case, because he's proven himself to be a persistent and a very critical thinking man, and they want fresh eyes on this case. He is very much against dime novels, is along the side of part of society that believes the books should be banned and kept out of the reach of impressionable people because they have the power to corrupt. So you have a dime novelist, and then you have a guy who hates dime novels. And it was quite interesting to take him on that journey because he sees the underbelly of the world. He sees things that could definitely support his idea that these things corrupt people. So he's a really good guy. He's a very stubborn guy. And he's a very black and white guy.
Yes, he is. I've picked up on that. But I love that about him, that characteristic of him. And I love that he calls his sister Pages because she likes to read into the wee hours of the night.
Yes.
And she's into these dime novels. So, I mean, I love that you brought in two women in his lives that are, you know, into the dime novel. It just kind of frustrates him. So how did you come up with his sister?
Well, siblings are always supposed to annoy and be challenging. And I have a lovely brother, but there's a lot of years difference between us. And I'm the older one. So it was usually me going to him saying, hey, stop, knock it off. Don't do that. And so I kind of pulled a little bit on that and just I thought it would be fun to have that bookwormish sister.
I love it. I love the deal that they have with each other, too, as far as, like, if you don't tell, I'll take care of your laundry.
Yeah. I mean, you gotta make deals so mom and dad don't know.
I know, right? I've done many of those. I have five sisters, so yeah, yeah. There's been a lot of, I promise I won't tell if you take care of my chores for the week, right?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of negotiating. All right, now, there's a lot of the book I haven't gotten to yet, so is there anything you want to share? By the way, I like Lawrence, Detective Lawrence. I think so far, I mean, I don't know if there's something that's going to crop up that I'm not going to like, but I think he's been a great mentor to Abraham so far.
Abraham really needed somebody to come in and kind of help him make that transition from street patrol officer to detective, because it is a different world. And so I had fun creating Lawrence. Or Lawson. You got me saying it wrong.
Oh, I'm sorry. I said Lawrence. I said it wrong. Okay. You're right. It's Lawson.
No, you're okay. I can't even remember what his first name was now. Talbert, maybe? Lawson? That's what happens when you're editing book two and plotting book three at the same time book one's coming out.
Yes, I get that.
Excuse me.
I just thought he helps kind of tone Abraham down, too. Because, you know, he, like you said, he's so black and white. He's kind of like, you know, let's rein that back. Because he really comes after her in some pretty pointed comments.
Yeah.
Along the way. So, yeah.
I forget what your question was.
Sorry. So, I kind of sidetracked. Because I'm only like 30% through, but do you have more in the book you would love to kind of just chat about? Are there other characters that are going to come in that you would like to talk about?
Have you met Marcus yet?
Yeah. The
editor.
Correct.
Yes. So, editor, he was a lot of fun. I liked bringing in the fact that he marks up her manuscripts, and they have this, he sort of has a crush on her, and she's, I mean, he's the editor. I love my editor, but I didn't want to date my editor because they critique my babies, right?
Yeah.
So you kind of have that. So that was fun. I had fun with the publisher. I mean, I didn't want to make the publishing world look bad, but it was always fun to make the publisher look like a greedy person who just wants to take advantage of the situation, because money's the bottom line. I'm trying to think what else. I actually interviewed a police officer to get the basis for Abraham and the things he struggled with. And one of my goals of this book was to leave readers thinking and not necessarily give them the answer. I mean, I can't help that my own opinion comes out, but I don't want to force it upon people. I want people to think about it. And so you see some of the things he told me come out, especially towards the end. And I can't tell you what he wrestles with, but what I learned came from an actual police officer. And so that was really neat to get that perspective.
Yeah, definitely. So can I then assume there's no, like, this wrestling that she has between whether her writing is causing issues or not? There's no real resolution to that?
Not as cut and dry as everyone would like.
Okay. And that's okay. I love books that make me think. So, I mean, I don't write about crime, but you did make me think. Man, I write more to the edge when it comes to the romance level of like trying to like bridge that gap between the secular and the Christian. And so when I started reading your book, I'm like, I actually had to stop thinking and like start talking to God and say, am I pushing it too far? You know what I mean?
Right.
Crossing a line and I don't realize it because I feel like this is what I've been called to do and I'm going to do it. So I love that your book is making me think. I love that. I love to be entertained, but I also like to think.
That's awesome. Like, I really want to entertain, but it also, this series, I feel like God is pushing me more towards it's not just a mystery. I have a bigger purpose for it. So that's been a whirlwind and a half. I love God. He always wins. Don't fight him.
Yeah. This is so true. I love it. And I had another question, then I got off topic and forgot.
I'm sorry.
I asked. No, it's okay. You talked about you interviewed a police officer. Was there any other, I know you do a lot of research. Was there any other deep research or interesting facts that came out while you were researching?
So I visited the Greater Cincinnati Police Museum, got to talk to a former retired chief, got to see all sorts of things. There is a stuffed dog in the museum because his name was Handsome. He was an official police officer. He would go out on patrol and he helped like bring down criminals, and he just became an icon. He was slightly after my story, so I couldn't use him in the story, but that was really cool. One thing I found is, so you read about a lot of corruption in the political, judicial, and even police officer world, and that was real. Cincinnati's police department tried on several occasions to be run by a board of commissioners who would do the hiring and the firing, but every time they tried, it failed within a year. And so then all the hiring and firing would revert to under the mayor's power. And so the mayor could hire or fire based on your political stance, based on whether you would do what he wanted you to do, things like that. And that is the environment that Abraham's working under. That was really fascinating. And I could tell that would be a real difficult thing to work through.
And it comes through his character because he definitely struggles between right off the bat with her at the circus. And
yeah,
what do I do with her? And what, how's this going to affect my career for sure?
So Lydia is the daughter of the city's coroner and a friend of the mayor. So you have that tension. Yeah. Poor guy.
I know, because he's all about standing and doing the right thing, which I absolutely love that about him. Man, so just thinking about today, as I'm reading your book, and you do highlight the corruption and the struggle there, and just how do you feel like that parallels a lot to what we see today? Or do you think your readers will make that connection? Thoughts on that?
I hope they do. Initially, I wrote it kind of almost in response to the wrestle and struggle with the 2020 riots and the 2021 riots. That whole, how do we handle when the judicial system doesn't act in the way we think it should? And what is our responsibility as Christians? And now the book comes out and we're in the middle of a very tumultuous political season. There's a lot of opinions out there. I'm not stating one way or another because I do not get on political platforms publicly. I have my own opinions, you have yours, and I'm willing to love you all the same and agree to disagree, all that stuff. But I think it's important that we wrestle with, okay, what is my responsibility and how I react, and what is God calling me to do, even if the world is losing their mind?
I'm glad that you bring that up. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because I would say I think several of us struggled through the 2020, 2021 era. And then things seemed to calm down and get back to normal a little bit for us. And now you're right. I think we're back into a pretty intense, like you said, a lot of opinions, strong opinions one way or the other. Sometimes I think, is this what it felt like leading up to the Civil War or during the Civil War? I mean, I know we're not at war with each other,
right,
but there were very intense opinions about, yes, what was right or wrong back then.
I honestly try to avoid thinking about it too much, because otherwise that can create anxiety in me, because I have done enough research to know that, yeah, it's this kind of atmosphere that was like the bubbling underground for the Civil War, World War One, World War Two. All the big world wars, or all the big wars that come to mind, the American Revolution, these differing opinions, which is, it's not a bad thing to have them. And sometimes you need to make that call to action and make changes. I'm not saying we should be compliant, but yeah, it could be a precursor. And I just try not to think about it, because what I try to bring out in the book is God is sovereign regardless of who's in control. And sometimes we just have to accept that his placings, people were maybe not happy with, or having things go on that were not happy with in control, whether it was Biden or Trump or whoever you're upset over. God's still in power. God's still sovereign. He has a plan. He knows what he's doing. And I mean, the Israelites suffered in exile under cruel, cruel leadership for a very long time in lots of different periods. So we have to trust that he knows what he's doing.
Yeah. And it's amazing when you look back at history, some of those cruel leaders actually helped unknowingly get the Bible to where it is today in our hands and around the world. I can't remember. Is it Henry VIII? I'm trying to remember now. He, you know how he always wanted to divorce his wives.
Right. That would be Henry VIII, I believe.
Yes. And so, but he's the reason why we have the King James Version, right, of the Bible, because he said, well, the Catholic Church wouldn't let him do what he wanted to do, so he was going to do it through the Christian Church. And not that we support divorce or anything like that, but you know, and that's how the Bible got out, because before it wasn't in the common man's hand.
Right.
It's just very interesting when you go back, but you're right, like, he is sovereign. And how many times in the Bible does it say no one can thwart his plans?
Right. And if he repeats something, it's important.
Yes. Yes. I love that. I love that that's going to kind of, that you brought that up, because I feel like your readers are probably going to pull that out as well as they're reading through this series. I'm just knowing some of the stuff, topics you're tackling for sure. So do you want to tell us a little bit about the next, well, can you share anything about the next two books coming out?
I can. So each book, so the series is called The Art of Love and Danger. So each book focuses on a different art. So book one was writing and authorship. Book two has to do with music. So my heroine is the daughter of an opera singer, and she wants to be an opera singer herself, but family situation has made them go into hiding. And so to pursue an opera career would put them in danger. And then the hero works in an opera theater and is a composer. And so her having a relationship with him is actually kind of a dangerous thing for her and her family. So it is very mental health heavy. Both of their parents are in an asylum at the start of the story. So we wrestle a lot with being a child of someone who's struggling with mental health, and you get the point of view of one of the moms, and you get to hear the other mom talk as they wrestle with paranoia, suicide, things like that. So it's heavy, but I try to break it up with humor. I'm praying that it will be not as heavy as it feels, but when you're writing it, it feels pretty heavy.
Yeah.
And I mean, when I wrote Written in Secret, I was afraid it was too heavy, but everyone says it's been a perfect blend. So we're going to pray God does the same thing with book two.
I'm sure he will. And I would agree. It is a perfect blend. There's the heaviness, but there's the humor that comes in, and it's very well balanced. And the third book, what art would that be?
That would be pottery, ceramics. So I actually did 6 weeks of a pottery class to kind of get the idea and hands-on feel of what that's like, and have done a ton of research. So Cincinnati is very famous for Rookwood Pottery, which was the first woman ran pottery. And once I got into research, I realized it was not as feminist as it sounded, which is fine. But I is going to open up her own pottery as well. But she does have a feminist bent. She's listened to Miss Stanton and is inspired and wants to make that change for women. So you've kind of got that. And then you, of course, have the people who are opposed to a woman running their own pottery, to having women's rights. And there was even a lot of jealousy within the pottery community, because this is when, like, glazing and different techniques were really exploding, and a lot of experimentation was going on. So there was a lot of competition. So it was a lot of, it's been a lot of fun to research.
Yeah. And I'm like, just taking a pottery class would be fun.
It was. Although I do have texture issues, sensory issues. And so I don't think it's something I will go back to.
I don't blame you. I have that issue with food. It's,
so, I do with some food as well.
I may never put a chef or cook in my book. Okay, so, that. So yeah. Well, that is very interesting. And the next two, do you have dates for when the next two will come out?
Thankfully, for my part, sorry, not for you guys. They're 1 year apart, so it should be March of next year and then March of the following year.
Okay. Awesome. I know we like to get them fast, but they're worth the wait for sure. And to be honest, when they're that far apart, then I go back and reread book one and then go into book two. And so you get to know the characters and the setting pretty well. And I assume they're all in Cincinnati, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And are your main characters connected at all?
So they are best friends. So there's a group of four girls called the Guardians. They're just best friends. They get into all sorts of trouble together and they stand up for one another. And so they each play a role, and you kind of see how the friendships change as they grow and characters get married, because lives change when characters get married and people grow. And I wish I had known when I wrote Counterfeit Love that this group existed, because I would have brought them in for Teresa's story. But by the time you reach Teresa, two of them are gone. They don't appear in the book because they didn't exist in my head at the time.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping, one novella I am hoping to write is after the conclusion of the series, like a reunion type thing, where after they're all have their stories, they get back together and you get to see their lives a little later.
Well, that'll be fun. By the way, I love the Guardians. I've only seen them together once so far in the book, but I love what they do and being young women and taking on challenges like that, like to help. Yeah. I loved it. Loved it. And you're right, people change. I think you would agree. I'm nowhere near the what you for yourself, but I'm nowhere near the same person I was when I was, you know, or in high school or in college. So
yeah, definitely not the same woman I was in my 20s.
Yes, I agree, same here. So all right, well, how can readers connect with you?
I have two places I hang out the most. One is my newsletter. You can go to crystalcoddle.com and you can do /newsletter, or you'll see it up in the tab and you can get a free copy of Counterfeit Truth when you sign up. And then I hang out on Facebook way too much. I am on Instagram, but I am Instagram illiterate. So bless my VA. She does a lot of things, but I don't know what I'm doing when I'm on there. So I spend a lot of time on Facebook, and it's just at Crystal Coddle Author. So if you just search that, you'll find me. And I have a reading group that we hang out in too.
And you do lots of fun things with your readers group.
I try to. I like having fun and hanging out and getting to know you guys.
Yeah. I never hop on Facebook, but I do get your newsletter. There's always a ton of great stuff and lots of inspiration in there too. So sharing that stuff as well. All right. Well, thanks so much for joining us and congratulations on this new series.
Thank you. And thank you for having me again.
Of course. All right. Let me hit. Thanks for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If so, please consider sharing our podcast. Every share helps us reach more readers and authors like you. Until next time, happy and blessed reading and writing.